Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Friday, November the 16th, 2012. Hope you're having a great day and looking forward to a wonderful weekend. I am Bill Buckmaster, and we thank you for choosing the Buckmaster Show. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We are streaming the show live on my website, buckmastershow.com, and on the station's website, kvoi.com. The show is also available anytime, anywhere by listening on buckmastershow.com, tucsoncitizen.com, tucsonsentinel.com. Program posted to all three of those sites, and also now we have a link to the Buckmaster Show at gvnews.com. That's the homepage for the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, and a link on the homepage for blogforarizona.com. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Congresswoman-elect Ann Kirkpatrick, who pulled off a narrow victory over Marana Republican Jonathan Payton in CD1. CD1 is a huge district encompassing about half of Arizona from Pinal County in the south to the Arizona-Utah border in the north. The district also includes 12 Indian reservations. This will be a return to Congress for Ann Kirkpatrick. She's a Democrat from Flagstaff. She served in Congress from 2008 to 2010 when she was defeated by U.S. Representative Paul Gosar, a Republican. Joining me in studio today to question the Congresswoman, Linda Valdez is with us, editorial writer for the Arizona Republic, and Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star. If you have a question or comment for Congresswoman-elect Kirkpatrick, you can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. This portion, our Friday Focus, is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true community for adults 55 and better. Enjoy the sensational sounds of Splendido with a special musical performance by Gestures of Joy, an inspiring resident-led group that combines music, sign language, and some big-time theatrics. That's coming up Tuesday, December 4th at 11 a.m. RSVP by calling 762-4084, 762-4084, or visit SplendidoTucson.com. Now we welcome to the Buckmaster Show Congresswoman-elect Kirkpatrick. She is in Washington, D.C., where she's taking part in a series of meetings for new members of Congress. Congresswoman, how are you today?
Good, Bill, and good afternoon to you and to Linda and Sarah. Thanks for this opportunity to be on your show.
Well, how is it going? I know this is technically a freshman orientation, but you have been through freshman orientations before, so I guess it's freshman orientation part two.
Well, it is. It's good. I went through the orientation 4 years ago, so it's always good to learn new information, but more importantly, to get to know the incoming members of Congress on both sides of the aisle.
Congresswoman, here is Linda Valdez of the Arizona Republic.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, Congresswoman, and congratulations on your win.
Thank you.
You worked very hard for this one. I wanted to follow up a little bit on what Bill was asking you about the freshman orientation, and I wanted to ask you, what's the mood like compared to what it was 4 years ago and what it was 2 years ago when you were on your way back to Arizona? Is the Tea Party still in ascendancy, or have they been broken?
Well, the mood certainly for this incoming class is, we want to work together, reach out across the aisle. Some of that is already going on. And so it's different than it was certainly 2 years ago and even 4 years ago.
More positive.
Much more positive, much more hopeful that we can put the partisan bickering and politics behind us and actually work together and get something done on the important issues that are facing our country.
And what about the Tea Party?
You know, I haven't seen much of that. Certainly in our class, there may be some folks who ran on that platform, but I don't see a lot of it really in this incoming class.
Here is Sarah Garrett Gasson, Congresswoman from the Arizona Daily Star.
Hi, and congratulations on your win. I wanted to ask about you're there for freshman orientation with a lot of hopeful new people coming into office, but there is a lot of heavy-duty stuff going on in front of the current Congress, and I just wondered, how does that affect, you know, plans that you might make or decisions, or how do you prepare for such weighty sort of things?
Well, we have met certainly as a caucus, and it's a strong Democratic caucus. There is a unity in the caucus membership, and we're going to work together to find solutions, and we're going to work across the aisle. And there is a hopefulness in the air. You know, we're having conversations with Republicans who feel the same way. So it does take political courage to address the difficult problems that we're facing, and I see a lot of political courage in this incoming class.
This spending to get to where you are right now, the combined spending in CD1 from outside groups and from inside Arizona, really set a record in Arizona, broke all the previous records for spending in any Arizona congressional races. In the end, Congresswoman, did all that outside spending make a difference, in your opinion?
You know, it's hard to say, and I'm sure people will be doing their studies of that, but I would like to take this opportunity to thank my opponent, Jonathan Payton, for a spirited campaign and for his service to our country as a veteran, and wish him the very best.
So in the end, do you think, though, that the outside money really made all that much difference?
You know, I'm not sure. I heard from people, I heard two basic things. First of all, they didn't believe the ads, and they're sick of negative advertising. And so I was proud that we were able to start our campaign with two positive TV ads right when the super PAC attack started against us. So, you know, the outside groups will do what they will, but we stayed positive.
Here's Linda Valdez again from The Republic.
Congresswoman, we've been hearing a lot of talk from Republicans that they're ready to deal now on comprehensive immigration reform. And I'd just like you to talk to us a little bit about how you think that can shape up in the next Congress. How long do you think it's really going to take to have a bill that people can start talking about?
You know, I'm pleased that I'm hearing some common sense bipartisan approach to immigration. One of the reasons I first ran for Congress was my frustration in the State House that Congress wasn't doing anything about it. So it is time that we have an immigration strategy that does address the DREAM Act, that has a pathway for legal citizenship that is earned, and that also secures the border. And I'm happy that we're moving ahead with that.
Do you think the DREAM Act is going to be taken up separately and first, or is this all going to be put together in a comprehensive
package? I don't have a sense of that right now, Linda. But I'm happy that it's on the table.
Absolutely.
I wanted to ask, kind of along those lines, about the Republican Party talking about, you know, we didn't win the presidency, we didn't pick up as many seats as we wanted or we expected to, and so now the talk of, is it about the message that the Republican Party was putting forth, or was it how it was delivered? I'm wondering, from your position as someone who's traveled all over the state in your district, do you get a sense of whether it was the things that people were saying, the message of the party, or that people didn't respond positively to, or was it more the tone?
You know, my sense is that tone had a lot to do with it, and that people really are frustrated with a Congress that can't get anything done. And in my district, where you have so many small towns, Republicans and Democrats work together because otherwise we couldn't get anything done. And that's my sense, actually, back here in D.C., too, that people want to get to work. They want to figure this out. They, you know, it's going to be tough, but they're tired of the gridlock. They want to move past that.
I was also wondering, in terms of I know that you had endorsements from many of the nations and the tribes in Arizona. You have very strong roots in the northern part of the state. But in the southern part of the district, how have you become familiar with what the needs here are? And do you see them as being different from the northern part of the area you're representing?
Well, I am a graduate of the University of Arizona, both undergrad and law school. And I'm a proud Wildcat, and congratulations to the Wildcats. They beat UTEP. That's great. So, you know, I have family in Tucson and have contacts there. We have our office in Oral Valley. We've been meeting with a lot of folks coming into the Oral Valley office. You know, their major concern is that I fight to protect Medicare and Social Security. We will continue to have a strong presence in Oral Valley and Marana. And so, you know, we'll reach out to all parts of the district. I have a vision for the district, which is a diversified, sustainable economy built on multiple sectors like emerging technology. And that is a vision that resonates throughout the district, whether you're up in Page by the Utah border or down in, you know, the Cochise County line. That is a message that resounds throughout the district.
Coming up now on 12:15 on the Friday Focus interview on the Buckmaster Show, Congresswoman-elect Ann Kirkpatrick is with us. She's newly elected, and we congratulate her on her victory. We're going to take a break right here on the Buckmaster Show when we continue with Linda Valdez of the Arizona Republic and Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star. We'll be talking about this fiscal cliff that Congress is facing. Stay with us, and please support the people who support the Buckmaster Show.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. The Rug Gallery is celebrating its 25th anniversary jubilee celebration with a colossal tent sale, offering up to 75% off at La Encantada Shopping Center at Campbell and Skyline in Tucson. With over 2,000 hand-woven imported rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. With an international reputation, the Rug Gallery has graced the cover of Christie's magazine and is featured in many other high-end publications. Stop by and check out the Rug Gallery with Arizona's largest in-stock inventory of fine, high-quality, hand-woven, imported rugs during the colossal tent sale with up to 75% off at Tucson's La Encantada Shopping Center in the foothills of the Catalinas. Or visit the Rug Gallery online at ruggalleryaz.com/sale or call 571-RUGS. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 6 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, La Cañada from Ina to River, and Phase 2 of Saharita Road. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Well, 20 now on the Buckmaster Show. It is our Friday Focus interview today with Congresswoman-elect Ann Kirkpatrick, who pulled off a narrow victory over Republican Jonathan Payton in the very sprawling Congressional District Number 1. And we are going to go back now to Ann Kirkpatrick. We have Linda Valdez with me in studio from the Arizona Republic and Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star. Congresswoman, what about this fiscal cliff? Do you think anything will be accomplished in the lame duck session, or will you and your colleagues in the new congressional session be forced to deal with this in January?
Well, I know that it is something everyone's talking about. I know there's some meetings going on right now with the current members of Congress hoping to address that in the lame duck. However, if they aren't able to, certainly we're willing to tackle it as well. And, you know, it's serious. You know, Arizona's unemployment now is the lowest it's been since December of 2008. And we need to keep reducing unemployment. So I really have concern about the impact that this is going to have on Arizona if Congress doesn't get it figured out.
Let's go now to Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star.
I'm wondering, with your experience having been in Congress previously, and then you've been on the campaign trail for quite, I'm sure it seems like forever. But I'm just wondering, is it different talking to people when you're the sitting member of Congress versus when you're the candidate, even though, I mean, people obviously remember that you've been in office not that long ago at all. But is it different what you hear?
The issues and the goals and the priorities are the same, Sarah. I mean, in terms of, you know, creating good-paying jobs and emerging technologies, you know, protecting the Grand Canyon from uranium mining, making our education system stronger. But what is different is the amount of casework, specific casework that we get from constituents. And so we will be opening many campaign offices throughout the district so that there will be a place where people can come in if they're having trouble with Social Security, if they're having trouble getting their veterans benefit, if they're having, you know, trouble staying in their homes for some reason. So we do a lot and lots of casework, and that's what's different.
Do you think people know that about your member, you know, their members of Congress, that there are actual hands-on things that congressional offices do on their behalf?
I would say based on my first term and the amount of casework that we did, a lot of people know about it, but we also work very hard at getting that message out to folks. They've got a place where they can turn to get help.
Congresswoman, let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. Charles joins us. He has a question about the DREAM Act. Go ahead, Charles.
Congresswoman-elect Kirkpatrick, I thought that was classy, you acknowledging Captain Payton for his service to the country. A question on the DREAM Act and bringing it into law. Why is it that you advocate for changing the law to accommodate the lawbreakers? Title 8 of U.S. Code clearly says who is and who is not legal, and who is an illegal alien in this country. Why change the U.S. Code to match the act of the illegal alien instead of enforcing against those who break it? I'll take my answer on the air.
You know, based on your question, I would imagine that you'll probably disagree with my position on the DREAM Act. But it's an issue of fairness. I have met with many of those young people. They're good students. They want to contribute to our economy, and I support the DREAM Act. And so for me, it's an issue of fairness.
Here's Linda Valdez of the Arizona Republic.
Congresswoman, there's been a lot of questions raised about the way the election was handled here in Arizona, especially in Maricopa County and Pima County. There's a, the, took a long time to count the votes. They're still trying to figure out whether Ron Barber or Martha McSally won in that district. And there's been a, there, we've been criticized from around the country. And State House Minority Leader Chad Campbell is proposing an investigation of how the votes were counted, how things came down. What's your take on it, and what do you think needs to be done to make people feel more comfortable with how this, how the system worked?
I think there are a lot of questions, Linda, not only in Arizona, but certainly I'm hearing it from a lot of my colleagues back here saying, what's going on in Arizona? There should be an investigation. We need to bring to light what worked, but also what didn't work and needs to be improved. And I'll tell you, in our district, we saw, you know, lines of hundreds of people still standing outside of the polls after dark waiting to vote because there weren't enough polling stations inside. So I do hope that we will take a look at it from both sides of the aisle. This is something that's not partisan. We really need to make sure that voters have their voice heard and they can cast their vote in a fair way.
Do you think there was something nefarious going on, an attempt to suppress votes, or was this just general incompetence?
You know, I don't know, and that's why we should have an investigation. You know, I always start that with the fact that there's probably a reasonable explanation. Let's find out what that is.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the Navajo Generating Plant and its importance to Arizona with the Central Arizona Project Water. They're very concerned, the people at CAP, that there will be a continuing problem with the generating plant. And where are we in that dispute right now?
Well, I've always supported the continuation of the Navajo Generating Station. Not only does it create about 1,000 jobs in northern Arizona between the Kayenta mine, which is the sole source of coal for the Navajo Generating Station, and the plant itself. That's about 1,100 jobs. 80% of those are Navajo jobs. We have no other place for those people to work. And while I understand, you know, the need to reduce emissions and for clean air, it has to be done in a way that we can transition those jobs into some kind of clean energy jobs. So my position has been to take a strong stand before the EPA and just say, give us some time, you know, to figure this out. Come out, visit with us, look at what's going on. But, you know, you mentioned the water issue. I mean, this issue transcends the entire district because my farmers in the southern part of the district are concerned that their water prices will go so high that it's not conducive farming. So it is a big issue for the district.
It is a big issue, and a lot of people here in southern Arizona, I think, don't understand that how big an issue it is, that it could eventually hit their pocketbooks in a very big-time way, because we're talking about the power that is needed to keep the water moving through the whole CAP system.
Yes, and the Navajo Generating Station is the sole source of power for the Central Arizona Project.
Here's Sarah Garrett-Gaston of The Star.
I'm just always curious about, it seems very exciting from the outside anyway, being elected to Congress and going and being part of freshman orientation. Logistically, how do you figure out how to divide your time between there and here? And do you have to go apartment hunting? How does it all work? I'm just sort of curious about the nuts and bolts of it all.
Well, let me assure you that it is not glamorous. It's hard work, and we are public servants. And I'm constantly reminding my staff that's who we are. We are public servants, and we serve the Congressional District 1. Our emphasis will be on constituent services and outreach in the district. So I will be setting up a D.C. office where people can come and meet with me, but really our emphasis is going to be putting the district first. I do have to find a place to live. My husband's flying out tonight, and we're going to spend all day tomorrow looking for apartments.
That sounds like it will be, I don't know, just an action-packed week. In terms of how things are going forward. What should we do? You have any legislative priorities that people should look for in the as you begin your new term?
Real quickly, Congresswoman.
Okay. Well, honestly, dealing with the fiscal issues, it has to be done. And I will be a co-sponsor of the balanced budget amendment. I'm very interested in working on deficit reduction as well as creating those good-paying jobs in the district.
Congressman Kirkpatrick, thank you very much. Again, congratulations on your victory. We'll look forward to talking to you over the course of your term. And thanks a lot for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Bill. Thank you, Linda. Thank you, Sarah.
Coming up on our Friday roundtable as we approach now 12:30, we will talk about the top stories of the week, and always there's never a shortage of things to talk about, and we will talk about them as we return with the Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Israel moving a step closer to a possible ground offensive in Gaza, calling up 16,000 reservists. This on a day that saw Hamas rocket squads display their expanded reach, taking aim at Jerusalem for the first time, and earlier targeting Tel Aviv. Coast Guard says no oil is leaking from that Gulf of Mexico oil platform, damaged by an explosion and fire earlier today. The fire is now out. The White House at first said it was a spontaneous attack resulting from a demonstration over an anti-Muslim video, but former CIA Director David Petraeus tells members of the House and Senate that he thought all along the attack on the U.S. consulate in Libya was an act of terrorism. Wall Street, the Dow now down about 3 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. It's time for our Friday Reporters Roundtable, featuring local journalists sounding off on the week's top stories. Joining me on the Friday Roundtable today, Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer of the Arizona Daily Star, and we welcome Linda Valdez, editorial writer of the Arizona Republic. If you have a comment or question, the Buckmaster Show live line is available for you at 790-2040. The Reporters Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show is presented by
Splendido
at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a community for adults 55 and better. Sarah loves to say Splendido.
I do.
Enjoy the sensational sounds of Splendido with a special musical performance by Gestures of Joy. This is an inspiring resident-led group that combines music, sign language, and some big-time theatrics. Tuesday, December 4th, 11 a.m., RSVP by calling 762-4084 or visit SplendidoTucson.com. Linda, we want to welcome you to the Buckmaster Show Friday Roundtable.
Thank you, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's good to see you again. And Sarah, always good to see you.
Well, glad to be back.
Well, here we are. How many days? A week and a half after the election. We're still talking about counting votes. Linda, there are statewide pushing nearly 200,000 votes to count, and then thousands of these provisional ballots. I think the public is really confused about what's going on here.
Justifiably, I think everybody is pretty confused and pretty frustrated. And as we talked about with the Congresswoman, the question is, it incompetence or is this something nefarious going on? I think that there are a lot of questions that need to be answered. I think it's a little bit too early now to say what the reasons are. There have been protests up in Maricopa County, and there have been accusations thrown around. I think that's unfortunate at this point in time, because you don't want to disenfranchise people by making them think their votes didn't count. But I do think that Chad Campbell has a really good idea with a nonpartisan investigation to look into what happened, to look in how it worked. Why were there so many lines? Why were there apparently a lot of people who were sent early ballots wound up turning up at the polls, and they accounted for a lot of the provisional ballots, more than last time around, according to Maricopa County Elections Director. And that's an ongoing problem, because the Democrats particularly are pushing people to sign up for permanent early balloting. Maybe people don't understand really what that means, that they can't then make a choice to decide to go to the ballot. There's a lot that needs to be discussed.
And Sarah, when you see this cutting across really all the counties in the state, it leads me to suspect there's some kind of a computer glitch there.
Well, I don't know if it's a computer glitch or just general incompetence or problems. I do think we do need to pay attention to what precincts had problems and who was voting in those precincts. I think that is a legitimate thing to look at, because if the problems and the wait times and the problems with voting machines or not enough ballots or whatever it is disproportionately affecting a type of voter, whether that's, you know, Latino or Democratic leaning or whatever, that needs to be taken into account, because in my mind that at least raises a red flag that it may be intentional, although we don't know that for sure yet. I think people also don't understand that, and we've seen this previously, but as the popularity of early voting continues to rise and candidates really are pushing, you know, get your vote in early, that every voter gets, one way to think of it is you get one ballot. You don't get to like, oh, I left it at home and I'm going to go to the polls and it's all going to be simple. It's if you do that, it's a process that takes time. You have to check signatures. It's very involved. But I do agree with Linda that an investigation sounds like a good idea.
Don't the ballots have to be all in? I think today may be the deadline, right? Isn't
the deadline is looming, but counties can ask for extension, and yes. I think that's going to happen.
And provisional ballots, though, have to be, every one of them has to be verified.
They have to be validated, yes, they do.
And that's very time-consuming,
right.
And there's thousands of these provisional ballots.
And in some cases, people have to show up and actually show their identification in order for the ballot to count.
Well, it's going to be very interesting because we have a couple of very close races, Sarah, still to be decided. Even, of course, the Ron Barber vote, he has now emerged, it would appear, to be the winner with almost a 1,000-vote lead over Martha McSally, who went back to Washington and is back there now for that freshman orientation that Congresswoman Kirkpatrick was also attending. But with all of the Cochise County votes counted, where McSally was very strong, it looks pretty good for Ron Barber.
It does. If you look at where the votes that remain to be counted are from, and, you know, Pima County, he has been running stronger in Pima County than Martha McSally, and her stronghold was Cochise County. She was very definitively the favorite there. But it just goes to, I mean, we're a week and a half afterwards. I know it's not the kind of thing where you want an inaccurate count or you want to rush things, but there has to be a better system, a better way of doing things. So, I mean, I can't imagine that either of those candidates are getting a lot of sleep. I mean, you just don't know. You're up in the air. But Martha McSally is at the freshman orientation with, I think it's 7 other potential congresspeople who were in races across the country that were just still too close to call.
Yeah, there was a picture in the Arizona Republic today of the freshman class with Martha McSally, and whether that will become just a souvenir for her of an experience that I'm not sure she would ever want to go through again, something this close. But Linda, I think there would be an automatic recount if it falls to within 200 votes. But I wonder if if McSally would consider or would request a recount at about 1,000 votes.
Well,
difference.
That she could do,
yeah.
That. I mean, that's certainly within the realm of possibility. I mean, at this point, it looks good for Ron Barber, but let's face it looks good for Martha McSally too, because she was not expected to do this well. This race was supposed to be Ron Barber's race, and she really distinguished herself as a very good candidate. So I have a feeling whether she wins this or not, she's going to take that picture to heart and she will remain in Arizona politics. And she probably has a pretty good future in Arizona politics.
I think she does, Linda. And I think, Sarah, that she ran a very good campaign and surprised a lot of people with how strong she did show.
I agree with that. I think that people, I mean, Ron Barber had the benefit, short-term as it is, of incumbency, you know, 4 or 5 months. But Martha McSally really is very telegenic. She's fun. She has an outgoing personality. She's
smart.
She's very smart. She's not afraid to talk about her accomplishments, which never hurts in a politician. And so just on a matter of style, I think they were a good contrast. Ron, of course, Ron Barber, also very smart, has a long history of public service, knows the issues, but just two different kind of archetypes of political candidates. But I don't think Martha McSally is done either way.
There's another very close race that a lot of people in the city of Tucson are following, and that is the road situation, the bond measure for roads, the five-year program. Last I heard, it was up by about 100 votes. Is that what you heard?
Or? Yeah, that seems, yeah, it's kind of...
That's a surprise. Everyone was saying, oh, it didn't have a chance.
Right. Right, and then they probably, you know, threw out their axles on the way to the polling place in a pothole and changed their minds.
They joined me as I was getting my car aligned, which I have been doing very frequently. Linda Valdez from the Arizona Republic and Sarah Garrett Gasson with us from the Arizona Daily Star. Linda, I'm going to turn to you about Governor Brewer. Arizona and other states were supposed to decide by today whether to establish an internet-based marketplace for consumers and small businesses to purchase health insurance or cede that authority to the federal government. And the governor has been, I guess she applied for an extension and she got it.
Well, the Health and Human Services gave everybody an extension. They said all the states have until mid-December now to decide whether they're in on this one or not. The problem remains the same, and the governor has been playing both sides of this. She's taken money from the federal government to do some research and come up with a plan, but she hasn't committed herself to it. She's in a hard position because members of the legislature that have to approve this remain opposed to Obamacare, and they don't want, they feel that if they agree to do this, they're somehow ceding to that, okay, we're going to go along with this now. And I don't believe they're ready to do that, despite the reelection of President Obama and despite the Supreme Court decision. But the governor is going to have to make a decision on this, and it really makes a lot more sense for Arizona to have as much control as possible by doing it itself rather than having the federal government impose it.
Yeah, just from a logical standpoint, it doesn't make sense. And because President Obama won re-election, the Supreme Court has upheld the Health Care Reform Act. It is the law of the land. So I'm having sort of a disconnect with politicians and legislators and the governor who are basically trying to, like, they have the opportunity to shape this in Arizona. It's the way they want to do it within the guidelines of the law. But instead of taking that and taking the bull by the horns and saying, you know, we know what's right for our people within this framework, which is now reality, they're kind of laying back and saying, well, maybe the federal government, we'll just let that happen. It's like they want the federal government out of everyone's life in some respects, and then they're like, hands off on something we don't like, you go ahead. But the other thing is, if the governor or if a state decides we want to do the state insurance exchange ourselves, and then somewhere down the line they decide they don't want to do it and go back, you know, join the federal system, they can do that and vice versa. So if Arizona doesn't get its act together in terms of, yes, we want to make a decision and do this, and they want people to go to the federal exchange, they can come back later and create something.
Only about 2 minutes left. Linda Valdez, your paper, The Republic, this week's been kind of speculating already on 2014. One election is over, and all the folks who love to follow politics are already speculating on candidates. And Governor Brewer, is she seriously considering a run in 2014?
Well, it's very interesting because just this morning in The Republic, her general counsel, Joe Canfield, wrote an op-ed piece making the case of why she could run again, and it all comes down to how you define that part of a term that she served. I don't know if she really wants to do this or not. This could be a strategic move on her part because it makes her relevant. She's not a lame duck if she's going to be running again. What else has she done in her life but hold public office? She may not be ready to retire. For my money, it's a little early to start talking about the next election, but it is only 2 years away. And it'll either be an open governorship or we'll have an incumbent. If she decides to run again, that's going to have to be hashed out in court.
Yeah, that would have to be challenged in the courts.
Yeah, and I do have to say, people, no wonder people, you can't even be tired of the election season anymore because it never goes away. It's like Christmas on Labor Day in the malls. But the Andrew Thomas, I think, is for putting feelers out there, expressing interest.
That former Maricopa County attorney.
Yes, with a lot of baggage, I think would be a kind way to put it. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's going to be an interesting ride with all – just within the Republican Party, the candidates who are talking about it.
It's going to do it for our Friday roundtable. I want to thank Linda Valdez of the Arizona Republic. Linda, it was good to see you again. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Sarah, thank you very much. I hope you and Linda have a great weekend.
Thanks. You too.
Thanks a lot.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Now in its seventh year, the RTA has finished over 400 projects, including five major roadways. Current projects include the Modern Streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. With ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service, providing jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer, the RTA is delivering our promise to you.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than two file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at CoxBusinessAZ.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Every Friday, that music heralds the beginning of another weekend in Southern Arizona. Weekend Watch with the culinary cruiser Matt Russell, presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Talk about a great weekend. Just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. So much to do, including the world-famous Gila Cliff... Say that fast. Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument. Plenty of great places to stay in Silver City, including Bear Mountain Lodge, Casitas de Gila Guest Houses, Continental Divide RV Park, and Lake Roberts Motel. For more information, southwestnewmexico.org. And here he is, the culinary cruiser himself, Matt Russell. Matt will go to great lengths to find a good meal. He flew in late last night from the nation's capital, where he was doing some business for the award-winning Russell Public Communications. But really, the real reason was to get some good chow in D.C.
Yeah, I wish I could say that my clients take back burner to the great restaurants in Washington, D.C., but although we did show up big for our clients back there, we did get a chance to sneak out and have some great food.
Oh, I bet you did. And now you're ready to do some a little tasting of the tequila?
Absolutely. And Bill, if your experience with tequila involves knocking back a shot and missing all the flavor, your palate's in for a treat with a tequila dinner featuring the ultra-premium tequila Patron. And tonight at 6:30 at the Hotel Congress, there's going to be a four-course Patron tequila dinner. Ooh. The event hosts are going to educate guests on the history of tequila. And each featured tequila is going to be custom paired to match the appetizers, the entree, as well as the dessert. Now, I just had a quick peek at the menu, and I can't even begin to put it into words. It just looks magnificent. $60 a plate tonight, plus tax or gratuity. Call the Hotel Congress for reservations. They're an absolute must. It's going to be a blast.
Yeah, that is a real prime time tequila, the Patron. Real nice. Are you in the mood, Matt, for some chili?
Always. When the cooler temperatures come, Bill, it's time to start thinking about hot and spicy. For the chili heads in Tucson, it's the annual Amado Chili Cook-Off, a must-attend for us chili heads. It's tomorrow at 10 a.m. right off the frontage road at Amado, and the event's going to include a wide range of chilies to sample, from the mildest to the hottest of the hot. There's going to be wine tastings, a beer garden, live music. A gorgeous day is on tap tomorrow, so go grab some chili in Amado. And for me, Bill, the spicier the better.
Yeah, I know. You like it really hot, and it would be very difficult for you to find a chili that wasn't a real barn burner when it goes down to the old culinary cruiser's stomach. What about the Casino del Sol? Lots of fun going on there this weekend.
Yeah, one of the most creative events I've heard of, starting tonight and continuing through the weekend at the Casino del Sol. It's going to be the backdrop for the first annual Southwest Spirit Summit, featuring cocktail demonstrations from the nation's best-known mixologists. They've all arrived, and they're ready to go. All kinds of demonstrations and seminars, tequila tastings, fine spirit tastings, wine tastings, and, of course, culinary adventures like a bourbon barbecue bash and a five-star, five-course cocktail dinner. Probably a good idea, Bill, to stay the weekend at the Casino del Sol so you can really enjoy this kind of Epicurean and, dare I say, spiritual experience.
Did we see the culinary cruiser with the trunk open and a bicycle on the back for the weekend?
That's right. You don't want to be anywhere near me on a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. But no, we always we take our responsibilities seriously. Don't drink and drive. Enjoy yourself. Have someone else do the driving.
Yeah, it's going to be a great weekend for the L Tour, all the bicyclists in town. Matt, have a great weekend.
You do the same, Bill.
Thanks a lot. The bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, generously provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. We love Culligan water. And why? Well, we can put it very simply. It simply tastes better. The Buckmaster Show, a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, on behalf of our team, my producer, the lovely and talented Rosemary Brandt. I am Bill Buckmaster, urging you to listen to the John C. Scott Show this afternoon, the birthday edition for John C. Scott from 4 to 5. John celebrating his birthday, the Dean of Local Talk. Then Monday morning, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe from 6 to 8. But you know, the local talk continues. You don't have to wait till Monday. It continues right here on Saturday with Expert Talk. Phil Cedar kicks things off with all the gardening tips for you. That's tomorrow morning at 7, and it continues right on through the weekend here on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great weekend.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.